You know what Steve just did there that was great, and it shows how good Steve Bertrand is? He just very subtly mentioned that during this cold blast that we're currently experiencing, that it's normally 40 degrees this time of year. Just, he didn't panic. He just normally announced that we're not imagining things. It's usually warm. It's not warmer now, but it usually is.
My polite way of saying this is BS, man.
That's right. What it is.
And I don't like to hear a blustery.
Yeah,
I really don't.
When you hear blustery, you know that it is going to be gray and that Winnie the Pooh and Eeyore are nearby. That's a given.
Oh, and it's a Wednesday, too.
Isn't
Wasn't it a blustery Wednesday?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
I absolutely think it was.
And it usually never snows in Winnie the Pooh.
I don't remember it ever snowing there.
It's just
there.
Windy.
At 100 Acre Wood.
Yeah, it's just windy conditions.
Yeah. Do your Winnie the Pooh impression, Wendy.
You are just, really, if it wasn't Ash Wednesday.
What would happen if it wasn't?
I don't even.
You're saved by it being Ash Wednesday, Steve. Congratulations.
Saved by the Ash.
Saved by the Ash. Remember a couple weeks ago, you told a story about how you were almost, in all caps, almost scammed online?
Oh, was it online?
Wasn't it?
I can't remember what
scammed?
It was.
You were almost scammed.
Yes.
You somehow escaped being scammed, and I thought to myself, you know, we live in a world where you have to be extra special careful because people are out to get you. They're out to take advantage of you. It couldn't possibly happen to me, but almost everybody has this.
It was the going twice over the speed limit thing, and it said I owed $275, and
right?
I almost clicked on the attachment.
Right?
And Art Nasseri was very proud of me for not doing
yes.
it, yet shocked
yes.
that I didn't click on it.
Because they make it such that you don't know. I mean, that's obviously the way a scam works. You say to yourself,
you're good.
I figured that out yesterday.
Encyclopedia Brown,
that's
look
me.
Out.
That's me. I got two phone calls yesterday, Wendy. One on my way to work, one late in the afternoon, from a man telling me, now this was all, I didn't pick up. Because now I'm doing the thing that you're supposed to do is when you get your phone call and you don't recognize the number, I just don't pick up, right? So both these went to voicemail. Officer Gary Cole, wink, wink, was
really?
Calling me. Yeah, I'm not making that up.
Did you book him for the show?
No, because I thought, if you were going to use a fake name, would you use a fake name that's really a guy's
no.
name?
Gary Cole, Officer Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right. Right. All right, so Officer...
Sergeant Cher.
Officer Gary Cole informs me that there is illegal activity going on. Somebody's using my social security number, and I need to fix this immediately because who knows what could happen, says Officer Gary Cole. So the first one made me think, oh, there may be something to this, and I was really thrown by the name. I'm not kidding. I really went, if I was going to use a fake name, I would not use the name of a real guy.
So maybe it's real.
It might be real.
Yeah.
I got the same call later on in the afternoon. I was already at home.
Gary Cole again?
Officer Gary Cole.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah? Although, if you were an officer, would you be working directly with the Social Security office?
No.
A policeman would not do that, right?
No.
All right. So they gave me a number to call back, but why would they do it that way?
Because that's the scam number where they're going to say, we'll give you more information. It's just a minor $10 fee. Give me your credit card. And you've brought this up before. What are they going to do with $10? Well, they tell you that, but then they have your credit card number.
So they have the routing system to get
crazy.
Inside, and they take all my money. All $138.
Yeah, you'd be the wrong target, I got
to
tell you.
Right. I'd have to explain to them. My wife only gives me $20 a day. Use your time more wisely, Officer Cole, please. And I loved you on Midnight Caller. At the end, I would throw that in. You were so good on the Brady Bunch movies. So good.
I'm telling you, these things really, I mean, I know the Nigerian prince, whatever.
That was legit. But that,
you know,
one I know for a fact
but
is legit.
You happen upon someone who's willing to believe one of these things. And, you know, it's over. It's just
yes.
so sad.
Yes.
I think of my late mom, who, like, never really was on the internet. So she was a kind soul to other people, not me. And she would probably be scammed.
She'd
very
fall
easily.
Prey to this.
And there are many people like her that just don't know better.
Yeah.
I mean, I got the IRS call. It's been a few years ago.
What's the IRS call?
Oh, where you will be arrested because you owe back taxes.
You owe back taxes.
Yeah.
You need to act on this quickly. Funny thing is, I do.
No.
I'm calling from the IRS office in Oak Brook, you know, and you give the number. And, you know, it's frightening right away until you step back and
sure.
try to deconstruct it. But, you know, it is.
It is very scary because we're all susceptible. So let's say I call them later. I don't give them any information, but I just ask them questions and stuff. How long would they put up with that before they just give up?
Like, I think they'd keep trying.
They would.
And the funny thing is, if you called back and that number, the person who answered didn't say Officer Gary Cole,
right?
Wouldn't you think, oh, I must have the wrong number?
Right. I would. Yes. Yes, I would. This is Officer Reggie Jackson. Yeah, well, Gary Cole is the one who called me. So could you let him know that I phoned in? He called. It must be urgent because he called me twice yesterday. I give him credit for doing that second call. Like, after one, I would go, well, this guy's savvy to this. He knows what we're doing.
Are you calling? It's Bosley from Charlie's Angels.
David Doyle? The late David Doyle? Doyle?
Yeah.
So would they say Officer Boz or Officer David Doyle?
Oh, I don't know.
And he's dead.
This is the officer of the late David Doyle. How may we direct your call?
That would be a clue.
Right. All right. Let's take a little break. And then, there's a whole lot coming up on today's show. A whole lot. All right, just a quick recap. I got two phone calls yesterday from Officer Gary Cole. He told me
that you had a bad case of the moon days.
He opened with that, and I just nodded. And then he said that he's working with the Social Security office and that somebody somewhere is using my Social Security number for bad things, and there's going to be trouble if I don't take care of this immediately. And he gave me a number to call. I wrote the number down. I have the number. I'm surprised that that's the tactic that they use. I would think there'd be a better way, but as you told me, what they're trying to do is get my bank account somehow.
Yeah, I got a voicemail, a long one, saying, you know, there's a problem with your mortgage payment. We'd like to send you some important information. Call me back. I'm at my desk. Here's the number. It was like really clumsy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, you're at your desk? Really?
Yeah.
So I never called that back either. I mean, they want to talk to you and have you surrender your credit card information.
So they would ask, they would say, all we're looking for is a small payment, and then it would end up being much more.
Yeah.
They would drain my bank account. All right. I won't do it then.
Yeah, because with my guy, for the documents pertaining to my house, which scares you when you hear that.
Sure.
They said, we want to, I can send it general mail, but we want to make sure you get it. The only thing is we don't pay the postage. So if you could call us, it's only a $5 fee for us to send it registered mail. Like, okay, why would I be paying for some important document? You would just take care of it.
Sure. Right.
But I mean, you start thinking and you hear your house is going to be taken away.
Yeah, you panic.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Andrea has a way to beat these guys, or beat them down, I guess we should say. Hi, Andrea.
Hi. So what I do more or less is I tend to get the ones that tell you, you get an automated voice and it tells you to press one to be connected to someone.
Yeah.
Well, I go through and click it and then run them around a tree more or less with...
What do you say?
Oh, I say anything from, I have different personas that I'll put on just out of fun, but they're deciding to waste my time and trying to get money from me.
Yeah.
So my viewpoint is, if I waste their time, they're not trying to steal more money from someone else that might be susceptible.
Oh, that's great. And do you find yourself, after you do this, do you tend to get more or less? I'm hoping it's less. Do you get less calls for a while?
I get less. And
aren't there places that call you though?
Yeah, it's very rare that I get the same one, but I used to get them 3 to 4 times a day, and now if I get them like once a month, that's rare.
Oh, you're doing so. You're on a troubled list. You're on a this girl's
do not call.
Yeah, she means business.
I'm on their do not call. So
right.
It's reverse psychology, but it works.
Good work, Andrea. Thanks for sharing.
No problem. Have a good one.
Thanks, you too.
You're dying to do that. And you'd
really
be good
do
at
want
it.
To do it.
Dan, have you done this?
Well, Andrea is definitely not my wife, because my wife always tells me, don't answer it. But I look at it as a challenge and an opportunity to reciprocate. I take it to the point where I tell them my name, of course, is Donald J. Trump.
Yes.
And you know that they're not connected to reality when I give them the address of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. At one point, I was connected to a supervisor, and her name was Michelle Obama.
Oh.
And I was really surprised that she had taken that kind of a job. But now I like to do that. And when I get done with that, my wife is steaming, and then I block the call and go on to the next. I have had the text calls where the phone number box ends in 1040. And that's one that people go, ooh, it must be real.
Because the IRS, the tax number.
Yeah. But most people do owe something on their taxes or have cheated in some way, which is why the guilt makes a lot of people respond to these, because they think they eventually and have gotten caught at, not being truthful.
Yeah, that's
makes
a good
sense.
Point. Well, thank you, Dan. Yeah.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay, see you.
And then the robocalls, it sounds like a real person. It's like, is this Wendy Schneider?
Mm-hmm.
And then they pause, but it's all a recording. And Jim got one of those calls, and I hear him going, no, Pam, I'm not interested. Pam, why are you not listening to it? Was just a recording.
Yeah, he didn't realize it was a recording.
But he was yelling at it.
Why is it now most of the calls I get on my cell phone that are from a number I don't recognize, once you pick them up and say hello, there's like a 10-second gap before they go into their bit?
Because the recording clicks on, or they have like five going at once to see who picks up. They have it on a speakerphone, so they need to grab it.
It would be more effective, I would think. I mean, I don't know everything about these things, but if I was them, I'd say, as soon as the guy or girl says hello, make it happen immediately. Don't give them that 10-second thing of where you just go, oh, this is obviously not a real phone call, and hang up.
When is your telemarketing scam symposium?
Saturdays
are you hosting
eight.
That?
Yeah.
So during
Saturdays
the 10:30 news.
Yes.
Just don't use your phone, first of all. Use a company phone.
Use a business
phone.
Call
that number. Call
over
there.
The number, yeah.
Can we call it on the air?
Not both of you. I need one of you to listen.
We did this before. Remember, we called it on the air because you got the same thing about a traffic ticket or something, and the guy swore at you.
He got very angry.
Hit the delay.
He got very angry.
Don't you ever call me again.
Right. Right.
Huh. Interesting.
Yep. All right.
Why is John Williams
is in the room. He's a friend of Officer Gary Cole's. That's why. John, I almost got scammed. I came within an inch of getting scammed.
You know, I've been listening to this down the hall, so I just called Steve Gadlin. You know Steve?
Yeah. He's with a consumer protection agency, is he not?
No.
Something like that?
I don't know
who this is.
Oh, good.
Steve is the cat guy, right?
Why do I know that name?
Because he's the guy that did I Want to Draw a Cat for You.
Oh, whoa.
The Chicago comic.
He didn't have his headphones on, Bertrand, so
yeah,
you were right.
Yeah, Cat Draw. We go to the same health club now. He lives up on me.
Well, so I just called him because I said, Bill and Wendy are talking about what you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
And you, I think, was it Bill said, how long do you string these people on the other end?
Mm-hmm.
He's the most famous I strung somebody along person of all time. There was a guy in Africa that was trying to get him to give money and stuff like that. Anyway, Steve started to engage back and forth with him, and they ended up writing a musical.
Seriously, that's
and
so funny.
I know.
The two of them ended
the
up
creating. Them. He said, well, I'll give you money, but you got to do something for me, and let's write a musical together. And so the guy in his clipped English from Africa is exchanging email with him, and they actually put it on. And
really?
I was the narrator of the production. And I don't remember this story that well. How did it go down? So I just called him. So he's going to come on my show today or tomorrow to tell the story.
Oh, good.
Perfect.
Excellent.
Well, listen, because so, we got a break for news.
I know you do. I just
Bertrand.
Had to run in. I thought,
this
God, this is exactly what Steve did. So either today or tomorrow at 1, listen, and I will finish the story.
Excellent.
Thanks, John.
I like this. This is like a scavenger hunt of radio shows. You started out here. It's like a progressive radio show. Not progressive in that respect.
And these scam calls.
Right.
All right, let's take a break. We'll get you some news, and then there's a lot more show. Thanks, John. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, Bill, you just witnessed an example.
Oh, boy, did I just witness something.
Can I get a witness?
Oh.
First of all, it's not great. I'll explain my whole situation.
Yes.
Christian Kuhn is with us once again. Thank you for coming back. You probably won't come back next year after what I told you.
No, this is the last time we'll ever see you.
It's always a pleasure.
Until today.
Christian is the co-founder and lead pastor of Urban Village Church. He is at the South Loop location. You've written a book, Failing Boldly, How Falling Down in Ministry Can Raise You Up. You also have a podcast, Failing Boldly.
The two of you were on about a year ago. Or
mm-hmm. I watched that.
Yeah.
Your current guest that you have?
Most recent, it's Steve Baskerville.
He's a great guy.
From the weather.
From the weather.
World of the weather.
That's right.
All right, Bill, quit looking at me in shame. Here's what's going on. I was talking to, do I call you Reverend Kuhn?
Sure.
Okay. I have a tough time. I get really nervous on Ash Wednesday because I'm not a really good Catholic. There. I said it, to be honest.
Yep.
So I get really nervous, and I talk too much when I'm too nervous.
Oh.
Bill witnessed that.
Imagine.
I offer too much information. I'm having trouble deciding what I want to give up for Lent. And you asked me what I gave up last year, and it was a terrible swear word that took the Lord's name in vain.
Boy, did it.
It's the worst one ever. And
it's worse than the worst one ever. Like, I know what people are thinking it is, and they go, oh, yeah, that's bad. But your version of it was...
JFC.
Yeah. And not
it's
the
terrible.
Not the fried chicken chain.
And I found myself saying that when I was just at my complete level of frustration, I would say that. So I made an effort not to say it during Lent. And to be honest with you, I don't think I've said it again. So to me... That was making me a better person by giving that up and not using the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah, we set baby steps.
Yes.
And all baby Jesus steps.
Yes.
And so you can start there, and then that maybe this Lent, like, what's the next level of swearing that maybe you need to cut back
on? No, I've cut back on swearing, Bill.
Okay.
I know you said I swear more than anyone you've ever known.
You're down 32% over this time last
That's
year.
That's pretty big.
Which is a considerable
Absolutely.
Change.
Absolutely good.
Instead of giving something up for Lent, can you add something? Like, maybe I would like to be a kinder person. Maybe I would like to go to church more.
Sure.
So instead of taking away, I want to do something. Is that possible?
It's yes. Ideally, you do both. And so you maybe give something up. So instead of saying an expletive, then maybe say, Lord, bless this person who cut me off in traffic today, rather than what you might have said before.
Take a negative, twist it into a
positive.
There you
go. Yeah.
All right. I will do that for sure. And I'd like to go to church more.
Well, that's always a good thing, too.
The doors are always open.
They are.
Right?
Even for Wendy.
Even for Wendy.
Please.
Even for Wendy. What do you make of these people who, when they give things, like they say, I'm not going to have, during Lent, I'm not going to have a mocha latte every morning. How is that helping, really? Is that helping at all?
Well, it's not necessarily that you're so focused on the mocha latte or whatever it is, but it's more an attitude throughout the Lent. Like, so last year, I gave up sugar for Lent,
mm-hmm.
and that was hard. And mm-hmm. one thing that I did whenever I was going to reach for the Oreo, I stopped and thought, okay, why am I giving this up in the first place? And it returned me back to thinking about my relationship with God. It wasn't necessarily that not eating that Oreo made me a better person, but it made me reflect more on my relationship with God and my dependence on God as opposed to the mocha latte or whatever it is.
So the key is sacrifice.
Yeah,
is the key.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And when you think of that sacrifice every day, you think of God every day.
That's the hope. Yeah.
What about those
Pretty
of
simple,
us?
Simple, really.
What about those of us who do not sin?
Oh, who would that be?
JFC?
God, please pray for Bill Luff instead
I've never,
of me punching
I've never
him right
in my
now.
Life said that. Let the record show. Let the record show. And in a tribute to you and your innocence, you didn't know what that stood for initially.
Wendy had to explain
what that was. We had
swear
a giant
word interpreter. She
wheel of
to
fortune board that Wendy pulled out, and we turned over the letters, and you turned red.
Fainted?
Yep.
First, and then brought me back.
Yes.
And then, yes.
That is a fault of mine, is I'm too honest. But I felt better, like I felt like I was confessing to you.
Yeah. How could that be a fault that you're too honest?
Gets me in trouble sometimes.
When you hear confession, you are bound. You cannot share those confessions, right? You hear them, and then it has to end there.
Correct.
Right?
Usually that's because I'm a United Methodist pastor, and so we don't have the formula like the Catholics do with confession. But if people do come to me, and absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever heard some that you're on the other side of the partition just going, wow. Have you ever heard any like that?
You don't have to answer some
I
of these questions.
Shouldn't. Yeah. I once talked to a priest who was a monk who took confession, and he complained to me that the confessions were too boring. And so,
spruce them up a
exactly.
little.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Liven it up.
Do you ever try to guess whose voice it is you're hearing?
We don't have the partitions. So
oh, you don't
normally,
have that?
No.
It's face to face now.
Yes.
At
is
our
it
church.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that better?
So somebody comes up to me and they have need to unburden themselves.
Yes.
I don't do they we shouldn't have like the in radio do you have the things you change their voices
like a harmonizer?
Yeah that'd be good. Maybe I should invest in one of those.
Yeah,
do you guys
church.
Do face-to-face confession now?
Yeah, if people, again, it's not as formal as it is in the Catholic Church, but if someone really needs to talk to me and say I'm really struggling with whatever it is, then we're normally face-to-face.
Our church, at some point when I was in grade school,
or text confessions, like, I've had a
you can do text
get out
well I've had people
text
do
confessions.
That with me. Yeah. I mean, it's not.
I need to get your number later.
Could be on speed confess. You're going to get calls all day and all night now.
I'll just retweet them.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
So our church at some point made the decision, because it was always the traditional, I can't see him, he can't see me thing with the partition. And then they gave you the option. You could do that or a face-to-face. And I think initially, anyway, people were very nervous to do the face-to-face. They wanted anonymity.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Hopefully, though, because I was talking to somebody the other day too, that it's kind of scary for, especially for children, walking into the confession booth and there's this voice and you have no idea where this is
coming
from.
That's scarier to me.
Yes.
And my kids, Dylan was the last one to get confirmed last year, and Michael was 4 years before that, and I think that's when it started, the face to face, because you have to do confession before you get confirmed in the Catholic faith, and it was unusual. I went to confession too, because I escorted him there, and I thought, you know, I got a lot. You have about an hour. Yes. And it wasn't that weird doing a face to face. I thought it would be, but it was less scary, because you're right, going into that booth and the window slides, it was like,
it's dark.
You didn't know what to expect. Here you're just having a conversation.
Yep.
So with the face to face, then did you start going more often?
No, I stopped sinning. That's what I did.
That was the end of your
sin. Look at me every time I say something.
Because you can't lie. There's a man of the cloth in the room.
Listen, I don't sin
and
that
Christians
much.
And Christians here, too. I have a cloth, so I can legally say I'm a man of the cloth.
Reverend or Father, what is it with you?
Reverend.
Okay, Reverend.
Or just my name, too. I answer to many things.
Christian Kuhn, he's the co-founder and lead pastor of Urban Village Church. You can go to the website, urbanvillagechurch.org. There is a welcome page, a home page. You click on the blog.
Correct.
And it'll show the many places that you're going to be at various times, you and your helpers. Is that what they're called?
Like elves?
I can't wait to tell them. Guess what? You are now my helpers.
No, but I don't know what they're called.
They're members of the staff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be at every one of these locations.
No,
have
I'll
other
be.
People.
I was at Daily Plaza this morning, and over the noon hour, I'll be at the Chick-fil-A over on State Street,
177 North State.
Yep.
And then there's evening rush hour between 5 and 6. You guys make it convenient for people to get ashes. One quick question, and I don't know if this is disrespectful or anything.
It will be.
My sons cannot make it to church today. They will be at school, and then they're busy tonight. Are there some portable ashes that
you
can purchase? I can't administer it to them.
No.
How does that work?
Yeah, you can. I think we've talked about this before. We usually buy. We're grateful to the Catholic Supply Store. We buy our ashes from there. So I don't know if there is, if Amazon delivers in the same day ashes, or
I wouldn't trust the ashes I got on Amazon.
Okay.
Where are ashes coming from? Is this from out of the country? Where would they be?
Traditionally, a church will take the palms from the previous Palm Sunday and burn them.
Oh.
And they use those ashes from the previous Palm Sunday for the following Ash Wednesday.
Very
and there
smart.
Usually are some leftovers, so they just keep adding to that, correct?
Yes, I think so.
But there's a whole supply store that you deal with.
That we do, We actually rent space. We don't have our own building, so we rent spaces. So there's nowhere for us to burn. I don't think our tenants would want us burning palm leaves.
No.
So we're grateful for places like this supply store that we can buy them.
But just a regular person cannot go in and purchase ashes there.
I can't. I don't think they ask for ID or anything when we,
What will you do with them, Wendy?
I will bless my children tonight. Christian always says some really cool things. A lot of times you quote like song lyrics and stuff when you're doing the blessing. So I thought if they're unable to go to get ashes tonight.
Yeah.
Because, in the suburbs in our Catholic church, they don't make it as convenient as you do here in the city. I'll say that.
It's true.
You should check some, I don't know how many, but some I know churches are now going to metro stations in the suburbs and will offer them. I don't know specifically where, but I know that they've been doing it.
Check your local listing.
Yep.
All right. We are going to take a break.
And then we can ask more swear words, which are allowable and which are not. So far, that's my favorite thing today.
I do my show to please you, my part of the show.
I just love it.
I that's what I gave up, saying a terrible, disrespectful thing last year.
Yes.
And it turned out to work in my favor because I don't say it anymore. When you say something, it sometimes becomes a habit.
There you go.
No pun intended there either.
Yep.
I'm going to stop talking. Yep. Doc Emmerich, of course, the wonderful play-by-play announcer for hockey, he texted me this morning and he said, I remember your quote from last year. It's Ash Wednesday, get your ash to church. Oh, I don't recall saying that last year.
Slogan. Isn't that a great campaign?
There are so many
slogan?
Ash Wednesday. Kind of like, so this morning as I was leaving, I ashed my wife and gave her a quick kiss and told her that would be the only ash kissing I did all day.
Oh, so, look at you.
It's that was all excellent. Kinds of ways to,
I applaud that. Yes. That was great.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We are going to, Bill, you're not going to get ashes because you don't sin, right?
I have not sinned this year, no.
This is a rebirth, right? This is a time to look at our faith and become better as a human and as a parishioner.
The churchy word is repentance, where we think about our lives, turn away from the things that take us away from God, and turn toward the love of God.
I will leave my back to you then when I get my ashes.
All right,
I will turn
fine.
Away from you.
All right.
There are people lining up already to get ashes. And once again, if you are Christian and you would like to get ashes today on Ash Wednesday, you can go to the website urbanvillagechurch.org. On the homepage, click on blog, and then the schedule and the times on the Ash Wednesday festivities. I guess they wouldn't be festivities, would they?
Yes.
You can help me out here anytime.
More fun
All
to
right.
watch
it. It's Bill and Wendy and Christian Kuhn on Ash Wednesday, 720 WGN.
Christian Kuhn is here, co-founder and lead pastor of Urban Village Church. It is Ash Wednesday. He is administering ashes to the sinful here at WGN. I see you brought extra ashes for Wendy, Christian. Thank you for doing that.
I have another vial in my bag in case.
I want a to-go cup of ashes so I can bless my kids tonight.
This has been around since before Jesus, during Jesus, or after Jesus? When did this start?
The whole Ash Wednesday thing,
yeah.
I mean? I'm going to say post-Jesus.
Post-Jesus.
Yeah. I don't know specifically when, to be honest. I should brush up on my Ash Wednesday.
Do we know
history,
where it started? No. Hard to trace.
1 year when I came in here, I did all the history,
history
on it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to...
There's a lot to know, isn't there?
A lot to know, yeah.
All right, I'm going to walk over there and let you give me ashes. So, Bill, you're going to have to do a play-by-play.
Absolutely.
This might take a while.
Why? Well, yeah. If you have to do one ash for every sin, this is going to be... We're going to be here till Thursday of next week. Oh, my gosh. I'm curious. I don't know if you... Are you allowed to talk during this? You're going to do a blessing. You'll do a blessing. Do a blessing
Would
first,
you want me to do the blessing we'll first? Or
do the blessing
do
first.
Do color commentary?
Do the blessing.
So we've talked before about... There's a favorite lyric of mine from a Mumford and Sons song, and so I've been using that and enjoy it because I think it really speaks to what Ash Wednesday is all about. Are you ready, Wendy?
Mm-hmm.
All right. In these bodies we shall live, and in these bodies we shall die. Where you give your love is where you give your life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Wendy, have a blessed Lenten season.
Amen.
That's quick and easy and right to the point. Do you have to clear the blessings with anybody, or is it up to you, your discretion?
I think it's up to my discretion.
It is.
Though now, who knows, I may get calls from others. I will say, too, though, this morning, actually, there was a woman who came up to me. This is the power. Some people criticize what we do because it's too easy, and sometimes the Lenten season should entail some sacrifice. But there was a woman who came up to me today. She had already had the ashes imposed on her, and she was in tears saying, please pray for my husband who had had a stroke.
Oh.
And so I prayed for her, and she was in tears. And so I think this is one of the benefits of doing this, is we can be a public presence.
Right.
And for folks who need not just ash, but who need prayer, just need to know that God is here and that God is present.
Excellent.
If you want to get ashes, and I asked you a stupid question off the air if it was just a Catholic thing, but it isn't.
It is not.
There are any Christian faith basically celebrates the Lenten season.
Yes, and for those who aren't Christian, if they're curious and want to learn more, we're always happy to answer questions about what this signifies, what Lent is, and anything.
UrbanVillageChurch.org. Go to the homepage. That's where it'll take you. Click on blog, and then there's a schedule. You already did the morning rush hour from 8 to 9. The lunch hour ashes will be from noon to 1. Again, there are locations. You're going to be at the Chick-fil-A, 177 North State Street. Then the evening rush hour between 5 and 6. One of them, 55th and Metro, the Blue Line Station. I think it is good to show, I know we should sacrifice, and being Catholic, I feel a lot of guilt. Like, it should be really difficult for me to go get ashes. I should stop what I'm doing and give my time to God. But this gives you newborn faith when you get ashes. I don't know why. It makes me feel alive again in the Catholic faith. So if it's easier to get and it makes me a better person, is it a win-win?
That's my hope. It's our hope. Lent is all about really thinking about our humanity. On the one hand, we believe that we're created in the image of God, but of course, we also fall short and we're broken. And so Lent is a time for us to really reflect on that. So to really think about what does it mean to be human and live into that.
And what did you say so eloquently that I'm going to botch right now, that instead of getting mad at someone in traffic, how did you put it?
Well,
instead of flipping them off. You didn't say that.
Assume the best. And so you might think to this person must really be in a hurry. That they have some emergency they need to go to. Someone is sick, and so they really need to get where they're going. I'm going to put on the brakes and let them in. Now, of course, in the heat of the moment, even me, a man of the cloth, mm-hmm. have had my moments mm. of maybe occasionally have sworn myself.
Oh.
Confessing to you, to the two of you.
That's what I do. I make people confess.
Yeah.
And so to have that mindset of just taking a breath and saying, no, this person really needs to go where they're going.
Sure.
And assume the good in them.
All right. We'll try that.
Co-founder and lead pastor of Urban Village Church, that the South Loop location, correct?
That's where I usually am, yes.
Christian Kuhn, you can go to christiankuhn.com, and again, urbanvillagechurch.org. The homepage will show blog. Click on that, the schedule for ashes during lunch hour and evening rush. Thank you.
Thank you both. It's always a treat.
Thanks, Christian. Appreciate it.
Can I say bless you, or is that disrespectful?
I take any blessings at all.
All right.
That was nice. All right, a break, some news, and then Dr. John Duffy joins us coming up. The Stories That Matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.
Thank you, Steve. I see you got your ashes. I was glad to help in that respect. I do get nervous on Ash Wednesday. What the heck is wrong with me? I said heck.
Yeah, that's better. That's way better. I like that you, Christian gave you the Mumford & Son lyric during the blessing. He sang Shallow with me.
Whatever. I'm done with you. I'm supposed to turn my back on evil. So I'm turning my back on you.
Hey, you turned your back on me. Oh, I see what you're doing.
Dr. John Duffy is here. Weren't you just on the air last night?
I was on the air last night. I just haven't left. I've been waiting for you guys.
You were on with Frank Fontana and Kathy Hart.
Yes. Frank wasn't here.
Oh,
I was so bummed that Frank wasn't here. He stayed in Montana or Wyoming or somewhere out west.
He gets every 10,000 miles, he gets his biceps circulated. He gets him switched back and forth.
That does explain quite a bit.
Rotated.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Why would he do that? He's been doing that for years. Anyway.
All right. John Duffy is a clinical psychologist, certified life coach, parenting and relationship expert. He does a podcast called Better with his wife, Julie Duffy. You can find it on WGN Plus or wherever your favorite podcasts are found. Your book is The Available Parent. Where do we want to start today?
So we can talk a little bit about video games and Fortnite, if you guys would like, because Fortnite has taken over a lot of our boys' lives in particular.
And very popular game all of a sudden.
Very popular game. Yeah. And it's hanging in there. A lot of games circulate, you know, where a new game comes out every year and you have to level up and it takes a month to play the game or 6 weeks. Fortnite takes about 30 minutes. It's kind of like a casino.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
You very get this addictive.
Intermittent reinforcement. It's very addictive.
Yeah.
And I don't know if your guys play this.
Occasionally.
Yeah. So a lot of parents will tell me, you know, instead of saying five more minutes, they'll say one more game, you know, and that buys them, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes, and it just takes up way too much of their time and their energy. And it's addicting. It's addicting. I've struggled with whether that's a reality, but it really is.
Yeah. Yeah. But for people who have not played it, and I have to admit, I've never played it.
Yeah.
What's the goal? What are you shooting for?
So effectively, you land on an island off of a bird or a parachute.
Yeah.
This sounds so stupid when you're like putting it out like this. It really does.
And even a kid will tell you, this isn't the best game. There are much better games, but this one is the one I'm drawn to.
Yeah.
And you've got 100 adversaries, 99 adversaries. And if you're the last man standing, you won.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. So, and effectively, you're killing people. Oh. You spend half an hour killing
And there's
people.
A llama, right, involved?
There's a llama. Oh, yes.
Dancing there llama.
There's dancing. Llama. There's dancing llamas. There's different costumes you can buy. So it does what other games do in that it finds a lot of ways to tap your pockets as well.
Yeah.
And so kids aren't really aware necessarily that, you know, the credit card's getting charged.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it especially violent or not violent or what? I know you're killing people.
It's violent, it's not impressively violent. Yeah. Not relative to like a Grand Theft Auto or a lot of other games. No. Graphically, it's not the most impressive game. I think the fact that it's brief is what's got guys really hooked on it.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right?
Get in, get out, and then have another game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where's the problem in this, John? It doesn't seem like there's a problem, or is there?
I think there is a problem. Just because so many kids I work with are consumed with it. Oh. This is when they get home. Right away, it's to the game controller, and this has been the case for other games too. But for Fortnite, man, this has really got them. It owns them, you know. And sometimes a kid can sit there and play for 6 or 7 hours because, just like a casino, every once in a while you get a win and you lose track of time. Yeah, and so if you come close to winning, a lot of kids will tell me, "Oh, I'm almost there. One more game, and I think I can win this thing."
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So, unlike other addictions, I'm trying to compare it to things that we might get addicted to,
right?
Like drugs or alcohol or another person or something like that. Is this a better addiction or not as good, or where does it stand?
I think it's a more treatable addiction, and it can come from parents to an extent. And what parents can do, by and large, is they can fill in the gaps. In the time. So a lot of times it's just too much time available to play this game. And it's the first thing kids do when they get home from school instead of the last thing they do when they're done with homework and all their extracurricular stuff and their chores and stuff like that. This tends to be the first thing. And it's so hard then to peel them away from the game, you know?
Yeah. And their excuses. I've been at school all day. I need a break.
Got to wind down. I need some wind down time, Mom.
That's why I have a glass of wine or a beer or something.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, I get it. Not saying it's right.
Yeah. But it's just so hard to put down. In fairness to them, it's hard to put down because you get close and you want to play it again.
Right.
You know? So I think as parents, we have to put some structure and bones around it so that they're not playing all the time.
Do you find parents becoming the villain in this, the bad guy, because they're the voice of reason saying, you can't just play this all day. You have to do other things.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a problem.
Oh, yeah. The conflict is, in a lot of households, constant. Yeah. I mean, you know, like it is the daily screaming, yelling match, and it doesn't end. It's brutal. So that's why I'm desperate kind of for families to find a different way to approach this thing.
Right.
Because a lot of parents will, out a fit of anger, an understandable fit of anger, take the whole console or the controller, put it in the trunk of the car and say, you know, you're done with this thing forever. Right. And then 2 days later, they break and the kid's playing again.
I'm thinking back when I was a teenager. My mom and I fought a lot. Yep. I mean, nothing substantial, but, you know, I was probably not that easy to raise. So I can only imagine if she tried to take away my Candy Crush back then. I mean, there's already family strife. Add to it this.
Yeah.
And home is not calm and cool and collected anymore.
No. This adds a whole new, relative to the way we grew up, this adds a whole new dimension to the conflict.
Yep.
Because this is something I want to do right now.
Yeah,
you know?
It makes sense. Dr. John Duffy's here. Your thoughts at 312-981-7200. Back after this, Bill and Wendy on WGN. Dr. John Duffy is in the studio with us. We're talking about a myriad of topics. Really quick, you're up on this cheese challenge thing. We've gotten a bunch of texts that want your take on what's going on with the cheese challenge.
Yes.
A quick explanation. Pete, all you need to do this is you have a baby.
Yes.
You put the baby somewhere, and then you yell to the baby, say cheese.
I don't even think that says
you just throw
a piece of cheese
on. You throw cheese at your baby.
Yeah, I think some people say cheese, some people just throw cheese at their baby.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it going to hurt the baby?
I don't think it's going to hurt the baby.
It's going to hurt the cheese.
It could do damage to the cheese. I am not a cheese expert, but from a developmental point of view, I think the babies are going to be intact. I'm not sure I fully get the purpose of this for entertainment value even, but I'm not worried about the babies.
They have been doing this in Wisconsin for hundreds of years. Nobody noticed. All of a sudden, it's nationwide and everybody's nuts about it.
Might be mandatory up
there. Yeah,
that is great parenting advice. And you have a conference next weekend, the Zen Parenting Conference. Tell us about that.
This is the coolest. For parents, this is somebody wrote put online that this is Lollapalooza for parents. This is a great event put on by very good friends of mine, Todd and Kathy Adams, at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. The keynote speakers this year are Glennon Doyle, who wrote Love Warrior, which is one of the best memoirs you will ever read, and Abby Wambach, who is the best female soccer player of all time, effectively. And they are married. They're a couple. They raised two daughters and a son together, I believe. And they're just awesome. They're speaking Saturday morning. So that's this weekend.
Yeah.
And there are tickets still available at zenparenting.com or zenparentingradio.com.
Excellent.
Yeah.
It sounds
really,
like a good
really
time.
Great. Yeah.
We have to talk a little bit about the Michael Jackson documentary.
Yeah.
It was so disturbing. It was so gut-wrenching to watch.
Yeah.
A couple of quick questions. Question number one is this. I'm sure you at some point, John, have dealt with kids that have been in this situation where they're taken advantage of by adults, and then they end up for the rest of their lives taking partial blame in all this. They blame themselves for this.
Absolutely.
How do you work around that?
It's really tricky because you're right. Not only do they blame themselves, but they can look back and honestly say, I enjoyed a lot of that. That didn't feel traumatic in real time. That felt like an alliance. That felt like love.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, and if you look at these two men, they're
it was love to them.
Really was, right? So, you know, they kept this secret until he was gone, as far as I can tell. So, and I've worked with people in that situation, and the first thing really you have to get them to recognize is, oh, you were taken advantage of. It's kind of really taking that dream away.
Yeah.
This big part of their self-definition and saying, yeah, that was actually abusive, and you know, and it was ongoing, and it was calculated, and it was thought through, and you were a victim to that. And I'm not crazy about pushing people to own victimhood, but I think it's important that they recognize the reality of their situation, and then they can start to redefine themselves in a really healthy way, instead of, you know, Michael Jackson loved me, or this adult that I revered and that seemed to care about me really loved me in this way, in this inappropriate way.
Oprah kind of really made me understand in her Q&A afterwards with both Wade and Jimmy. As you mentioned, we think of abuse as torturesome and brutal and violent.
Yes.
And this wasn't.
Right.
And I'm very naive to this and ignorant. So it was, I learned a lot from that. And my question to you is, do you think now that Michael Jackson is gone, the healing begins? I just wonder if Michael Jackson was still alive, if they'd be on the path to healing right now as much as they are now.
I thought the same thing, Wendy. I totally agree with the question. Certainly for these men, watching them in real-time interviews, it does seem like it required him to be gone somehow for them to really speak their truth and heal. And, you know, I find myself oddly grateful to the documentarians for airing this out and letting them have all this space, these 4 hours, really to calmly tell their story. And I think, you know, kind of hearing yourself tell the story, and I run into this in therapy a lot. When you hear yourself say the words, then you don't need somebody to tell you, oh, this was awful. This was abuse. You went through something, you know, that you might feel good about in one way, terrible about in another way, and you've got to work through that conflict. You can feel that these guys are on the path toward doing that. Like, I have more hope for these guys now than I would have 2 weeks ago.
Agreed.
There was a trigger moment for both of these men where they looked at their own children who were coming up on the age that they were when the abuse started from Michael Jackson, and all of a sudden that opened up some sort of a path in their brain as they realized, wow, that really is a very young child, and an adult could take advantage of that child. Does it play out that way with some regularity?
A lot of the time. And if you don't get that moment, I often ask them to envision that moment. So if I'm working with an adult who had been abused, I often ask them, like, picture a 7-year-old, picture a 10-year-old, you know, and does it seem right that they would have gone through what you went through?
Yeah.
And they can get there, but if it's your own child, you can think about it even more vividly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. As you watched this, John, you said you saw the whole thing and parts of the Oprah Winfrey. What did you make of it? I mean, Oprah said, oh, I'm going to get blasted for this, and the guys are getting death threats for this. So what's behind that exactly?
Right. Well, I think it's the Michael Jackson phenomenon. You know, there was a New York Times piece the other day that said that before it ever came around, the Jackson loyals decided, you know, they were going to marshal their forces and really support their guy with everything they had and debunk these guys, which isn't that difficult because in the past, they've said this didn't happen, right under oath. And so, you know, like, well, this is a money grab or this is a fame grab or something like that. So I think part of what's going on nationally is that, you know, there's a lot of backlash against these guys.
We're seeing it with R. Kelly, too, that his true diehard fans absolutely refuse to believe that could be a reality, that somebody could be that big of a monster.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you can watch, I don't know if you had a chance to see the interview with Gayle King.
Mm. Wow.
You can almost feel him appealing directly to them, almost skipping over her
to appeal
directly to them, right? Because that's where, if he has hope of beating whatever these charges are, you know, that's the only opportunity I think he has, you know, is gaining some following amongst his loyals.
Your explanation on the parents looking the other way as this was going on, because that's the part that Wendy and
I can't comprehend.
It's so hard to figure that part out.
And the boys, when asked, Oprah said, have you forgiven your moms? They're like, forgiveness does not happen in one fell swoop. Yeah. We're on our way.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
totally makes sense. As you watch, so I struggle. This was my biggest struggle as well, because putting myself in their shoes, I still couldn't envision, even with the culture he seemed to create, where we're all a family, we're all going to go to the ranch together, but you know, your son and I, we're going to sleep together. You know, like that still feels like such an enormous parental leap. What it suggests to me is, because I don't know parents who are willing to put their kids in peril in their right minds.
Yeah.
And these women did these moms.
They weren't in their right minds.
Right.
They couldn't have been.
I think it just takes you, when you're talking about the most famous man in the world, it takes you out of your right mind to some extent. And you start to see stars and you realize, oh, maybe this is good for all of us somehow in the long run. And you find a way to look the other way. That's the only thing I can envision.
There was one, I think it was the Australian Wade, his mom and sister, they were at a hotel. I don't know if that's when they went to Hawaii or whatever. And the mom is talking and she said, yeah, my daughter and I stayed in one room and Wade was 7 and spent the night. Why? No, our family stays together.
Absolutely.
Michael is down the hall and then their rooms kept getting farther and farther away.
Yeah.
I don't know how you'd ever agree to that, even if your kid's begging you.
Right. And
you can see him first thing in the morning, but sleeping, no.
And I agree with you completely. And I'm hoping that people take away certain messages from this, right? And part of it is, I think these men being so forthcoming gave victims permission to come forward and not really lose anything in terms of their self-identity. I also hope that parents learn something, right? Like, you know, that, even if you feel enticed and seduced by somebody as part of the family, if something doesn't feel quite right, trust that gut instinct.
This isn't fair to ask you this because we have 9 seconds left. Is this easier or harder for somebody to do who is not Michael Jackson? Because this sort of thing is still going on today, every day.
Oh, yeah.
Is it easier for somebody to do this or harder if they're not Michael Jackson?
I think it's trickier. I think it's harder because you're not dealing with one of the most famous people in the world and you feel like, boy, I was duped. You know, I should have been smarter about this even at 7 or 8 years old.
Yep. Yeah. All right. John, thank you.
Thanks,
thank you, guys.
I know this is a dark, dark topic, but it's horrendous because it's going on all the time. You would think as time goes on, we'd all be savvy to it and be more careful, but somehow.
And watch Abducted in Plain Sight. It's on Netflix. It's a documentary about the same thing with someone who's not famous, but it just talks about that grooming, which I never even heard of, but you get the whole family on board and that false trust is there.
Yeah. Yep. It's powerful.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys.
It's Dr. John Duffy.
Thank you, Andrea. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. And I like to be proud to be an American, and I like to think things that are getting better. But I don't know. Things are getting more heated, and I bet there's someone on the line who agrees with me on that. Amber Tamblyn is with us right now. Amber, what's going on?
Well, these are some of the themes that I write about in my book. Yes, I think there's a lot of chaos going on right now, but nothing to be afraid of at all.
Well, that is hopeful. Era of Ignition, Coming of Age in a Time of Rage and Revolution. Amber is going to be at the Community Christian Church in Naperville. This is tonight, correct?
No, it's actually
on Friday.
Tomorrow night.
Yes, Friday, yeah. March 8th.
No,
7th.
No, Thursday.
Thursday?
All right.
All right.
Thursday, Friday? It's whatever the date is, and it's on there, yeah.
It says March 8th at 7 p.m. Okay, Friday.
We're doing great. We are doing great.
That's all right, because it's this rage we have. I got to tell you, I mean, really, sometimes I find myself a little embarrassed to be an American. There's a lot of craziness that is going on. We're supposed to be getting better with everything, and I don't know, are we backsliding?
I don't think we are at all. I think part of the chaos that you're feeling and that all of us have been feeling, this very tumultuous time, this sense of a sort of condensed change that's happening very quickly and rapidly, both for what feels like the worst and the best possible situations, is a good thing. I think, you know, the change that we want to see, and certainly in light of the current presidency, is going to take some time and some real uprooting. And there's just no way to do that uprooting without there, you know, being some difficult times ahead. So I'm all about, and the book very much focuses on the national existential crisis and the tools that we've already been given to fight through it all.
Amber, I know you did some work with Hillary Clinton's campaign. Would things be different today or dramatically different today if Hillary Clinton was our president instead of Donald Trump?
That is such a good question, and no one has asked me that so far. I don't know if they would be. I think that this fracturing has been coming for a long time. I certainly think there would be things that we would not be seeing under any circumstances, like the banning of certain types of people, of certain types of sexes and genders from the military, also from putting children in detention camps and separating them from their parents. I think those are fundamental things we would not be seeing. But, you know, I think that this push and pull that we're feeling as a culture and a society has been coming for a long time. And again, I always say that the chaos is good, because out of the chaos comes real clarity. It may not come immediately, but it will come.
And I know we have Donald Trump fans that are listening to us, and I'm not blaming everything on Donald Trump. I am blaming things on the Me Too, the Time's Up, the Michael Jackson, the R. Kelly. It just seems like everything's happening at once, but there is hope. Please tell us that, Amber.
Yeah, there definitely is. I don't blame anything on any group of people or organization that is trying to change things for the better for all people, and especially for women. I think that what we've been seeing right now is the reaction of women feeling like they're tired of asking for permission in how to be seen as equal, how to be paid equally, how to be treated equally, and how to not be harassed in the workplace. And those voices are not going to be ignored anymore. And so much of the power is coming from that type of conversation. And also, one of the things in the book that I have to say is really important to me is the idea of bringing men into this conversation, because I love men. They're amazing. They're a part of this conversation. And I think that all of us have to learn how to have the tools to navigate all of this.
And men get a bad rap. I'm sorry. I have two sons. They're teenagers. I work with Bell every day. You know, not all men are jerks. That needs to be said.
Most of us are.
That's not
even most
true.
Of us are. Yeah.
Literally no one is saying all men are jerks. Who says that?
There are a lot of men that feel like, you know, in order, like a feminist is a man hater, and that's so not true. I thought when we got the right to vote that everything was equal. Boy, was I disillusioned.
Mm. Yeah, no, I mean that is the circular movement that we go into, and we have to remember that this is a civil rights movement that is happening right now. That is what it is. It is a form of a revolution, and we have to call it that. And I think the most important thing that men can do is to really sort of step out of the way and let us decide what we need for our own safety and security, and then support us when we come to that decision. And I know it's scary. All of this is scary. No upheaval or revolution has ever been simple and easy and not scary. So it's important that we push through it and keep pushing and not worry about giving into those fears.
Amber, when I was a kid, my parents would have a dinner party, and there'd be 10 or 12 people around the dinner party of different political mindsets, and they were all sharing ideas. Sometimes they'd agree, sometimes they wouldn't agree, but it was always pretty civil. That seems to have gone by the wayside. You don't hear or see that very much anymore. Is that ever going to come back to that, do you think?
I think it definitely will. And again, I'll just keep repeating this mantra. I think it is okay for people to be divided right now. I'm not afraid of that. In the division is where we're figuring out who we are and what we really want, devoid of this idea of being forced to come to a table that doesn't care about us. So to me, the division is okay because we're going to be able to sit in our respective places and say, here is how we want to exist. And now we're going to come back to the table and say, this is how we want to change things collectively. Of course, that'll always be there. But the day of no politics at the dinner table is kind of over for the time being, especially in this particular climate.
Yeah.
I heard the second half of Arrested Development is going to happen. That's good news for Arrested Development fans, for your husband.
Yeah, it's. I think everyone is really excited about it. I haven't seen any of the episodes, but you know, it's a beloved show.
Oh, I love it so much. I really do.
And Amber, we know your time is short with us. I'm just curious.
I saw you on
Stephen Colbert last night. You had the largest ring I've ever seen in my entire life last night. Was that heavy? That's the biggest ring in history.
It was a pretty big ring. My girlfriend has a beautiful antique company, a jewelry company called Kentshire, and she loaned it to me, and I was carrying it around like it was the most precious thing in the entire world.
Oh, man.
But it was a very, you're right, it was a good size ring, that's for sure.
We look forward to someday getting you in the studio. I know you're short on time. We appreciate you coming on with us. Amber Tamblyn, actress, author, director, activist, An Era of Ignition, Coming of Age in a Time of Rage and Revolution. Your upcoming book signing is happening this weekend, Friday, March 8th, at the Community Christian Church in Naperville. To get tickets, Amber Tamblyn, it's through Anderson's Bookshop, so you can get that handled. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Thanks, Amber. Appreciate it. A quick break, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Yesterday, I just want to say the young generation and the old generation came together in a very interesting way. My two boys were out at Disc Replay looking at some video games and movies, and there was an elderly gentleman who was standing looking at some movies, and Michael, my oldest son, walked past him, but didn't disturb him or anything. Mm-hmm. But he walked past him, and the elderly gentleman, who may be a listener, I'm not sure, he looked at Michael with his long red hair and said, "That's real nice. Can you say excuse me?" And Michael goes, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry, sir. I don't know what I did."
Yeah.
And so Michael just got scared and walked away from the guy. And about 15 minutes later, they were at Half Price Books in Countryside, and Michael was walking around, and lo and behold,
the same man
was there looking at something, and the man looks up at Michael and says, "Oh, so we meet again." And Michael says, "Yeah, I'm really sorry about that. I don't know what I did. I didn't mean to get in your way, but I'm very sorry." So they go about their business, and a couple minutes later, this gentleman comes back to Michael and says, "You know, kids your age don't usually say I'm sorry. So here's a $5 gift card. I got you a gift card for saying I'm sorry." And Michael was like, "What?" Well, thank you very much. And the guy's like, "You say thank you, too."
"Oh, thank you. Here's a $10 gift card."
I should have said, Michael, you know.
Yeah, keep it coming.
I said to Michael, "See, it pays to be nice. You said it. I'm sorry." Even if he was in the wrong, you know what? If someone's upset, you turn it around. You just go, "Oh, I'm sorry."
Right.
There are other people who would go, "What are you talking about, old man? You get out of my way."
Was this guy also in your home when you returned home when Michael... Because I'm nervous that everywhere your son goes, this guy shows up with gift cards.
Yeah, so it was kind of weird. Although I will tell you, in the Countryside Mall, a lot of people look for old albums and video games and books. And Disc Replay is very close to Half Price Books.
Oh.
And so a lot of people do the double dipping over there.
Yes.
But it was just weird because Michael said, "I looked up and there he is again." And then he gave me a gift card because I said, "I'm sorry." And I said, "Well, see, be respectful to your elders.
That's the lesson.
I am an elder. Be nicer to me."
Yes. That is a valuable lesson we
You're
all just learned.
You're not an elder.
Andrea, let Wendy finish.
Okay.
Please.
All right.
Wow. So I
thought that was a good deed.
Right.
Did not get punished.
It diffuses my theory, and I hate it. I hate that I think that all the time, but I'm telling you that more times than not, when you do something and you go, well, this can only be good, right? Nope.
Usually it's...
And an anvil drops from the sky and hits you in the head.
Or a piano.
And I hate... Because even with my own daughters, they will say, oh, don't... You always say that. And I go, I always say it because I'm pointing out an example of it being true. And there's plenty of examples where it isn't true. That doing something good pays off. Your gift card thing proves it, but more times
than
not.
But that's one out of like 50 we could get on
right,
the phone line and talk
right,
about.
Right. So why, if the universe has balance to it, why isn't it more of a 50-50 proposition where if you do a good thing, sometimes it'll come back to bite you, but sometimes it will reward you? It should be more even.
Well, it's Ash Wednesday, so I am going to try and be more patient with other people. And you know
yes.
me, I have no patience.
Yeah. Well,
that's why I'm not a doctor.
We need a rim shot so badly.
Oh, I have one. It wasn't worth it.
So
it was not
badly.
Worthy of a rim shot. But I, you know, when I got Ashes earlier from Christian Kuhn, and you can go to, I don't remember the website. I will get it for you because they have like a mobile Ashes service today. UrbanVillageChurch.org, I believe.
Hashtag Tango and Ash, Wendy. Easy to find.
And you can look it up and hit the blog page, and it'll tell you mobile.
Where they are and
yes,
how
and,
you can get them.
And I will say that someone texted me and said, Wendy, get your lazy A to church because
oh.
he's not Catholic. You're Catholic. But we asked last year. That
it
was
still
my,
counts.
That was my big question, even though
it
you're...
It still counts.
I think you said Methodist. Do your ashes work? They get them from the Catholic Supply Ash Store.
On Ashland Avenue. That's what's conveniently located.
So I'm just going to try and be nicer to people and more forgiving.
Oh.
Because that's what this is.
Yes.
It's a lot of meanness out there.
Yes. Why? Where does it all come from? You can't blame it all on Andrea Darlis. You can't,
I'm just
Wendy.
Say. I know you've tried.
I've tried to in the past, and she's proven that
no.
it can't at all. It's not all you, Andrea.
No.
It's not.
Remember what Bozo said? It's nice to be important, but it's more important to
be
nice.
To be nice. The words of Bozo.
Yeah, words
really?
Of Bozo.
Yeah, Bozo said that.
Yeah, Dean told me.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to live by Bozo's words.
And then he got one of those giant lollipops, and it, you know, it
and
all
get
made
church,
sense.
Wendy.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so the plan is, Wendy, you and I will go to the stream for the bonus hour.
Yes, we will.
Steve Bertrand insists on sticking around here on the regular terrestrial radio and doing the Wintrust business lunch. You have two options. You can join us there on the stream or listen to Steve. Either option is pretty good. So do that. Coming up, the stories that matter with Andrea Darlis. Don't blame it all on her in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.